Tonight, Brandon C. Price rides sidecars. We have a full Monday show. Michael Palasek will be back to share some laughs and much more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, I don't know if I should say Happy Monday. Is Happy Monday like a ridiculous sounding thing to
no.
say?
No, Happy Monday, well, it's really like cold, snowy Monday.
Yeah,
but happy that.
Big billowy puffs of smoke, of snow. It smelled, felt smoky. It felt like.
By the way, I knew I was forgetting something in our intro. Tom Dart, you're doing a long interview with Tom Dart.
Well, tonight. Sheriff Tom Dart was generous with his time last week, and we kept trying to figure out where to put that whole hour of radio with him. He came in early during his workday, and we've been trying to figure out since Thursday. Because in the interview, too, by the way, you'll hear me say it's a beautiful day out, which is not accurate today at all, unless you consider today to be beautiful. Maybe you're somebody
Some do.
Who wakes up every day and says it's a beautiful day because I'm alive.
I think Nick D loves this kind of weather.
It could do. Could yeah. It's the fifth season. Wouldn't you say, Esmeralda, this is the fifth season? It's a sprinter.
Oh.
Spring.
Smarch.
Sprinter smarch. I don't know, but it's not pretty.
It was frightening.
Well,
it was
Saturday was
real sad.
Well, and the photos of everybody, like the different weather systems we had on Saturday. One Lyft driver told me he was just in the middle of it, and it kept like he was driving through it because it would be snowing, then sunny, then some sort of hail, then sunny again. And yesterday, gorgeous, 70 degrees.
Oh, amazing. It was so, cold in the morning, though, even yesterday.
I didn't wake up early.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I woke up late in the day.
I gave my wife a ride to work at like 9:30. It's kind of cold then.
I can see that.
But it got real nice.
Oh, so we went for a hike. We went for a walk in the forest preserves up in Caldwell Woods, Bunker Hill area. It was very nice. Saw some ducks. There was one girl duck and a lot of boy ducks. And there seemed to be a lot of attention given to that young duck.
Well, of course,
duck.
Yeah. That sounds.
And there was one point where there seemed to be just the one. Like he turned around and did something like some sort of flutter move.
Oh, nice.
And all the other ducks just swam away.
Yeah.
I don't know what that gesture was.
Poofed his chest out.
Something.
Okay.
But all the other guys were like, okay, we're backing off, man. No reason to get all.
You don't have to get all like that about it.
Don't get up my bill about
it. It's cool. Nice duck jokes. Have you been writing those?
No.
Okay.
I took pictures of the two ducks swimming.
Nice.
On my Instagram. Took pictures of the trees. My very tall son, who is now 12.
You don't have to be all foul.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah, I got all foul.
Yeah, you got all foul. Yeah. Esmeralda, duck joke?
It ruffled your feathers? Oh, no.
Just don't flip me with the bill.
Don't stick me with the bill.
Don't stick me
don't
with the bill.
Don't stick me with the bill.
I don't even know what that one means in context.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All
right.
Whatever
I hope
you
he,
want it
I hope
to
he
be.
Would take her out to a nice meal.
I don't know.
What would that be?
Grubs,
what would a duck date be?
Some floating leaves.
Yeah.
Some sort of.
They go for a nice swim together.
Whatever they do when they dip their heads in and their butts go up in the air.
Sorry, I always like that.
I don't
that.
Know what they get.
I don't know, but it's pretty. It's
oh, it's adorable.
It is so cute.
It is so confusing, too.
And you see their little feet paddling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is that for? Like, are they getting, are they actually moving? Because the feet are out of the water.
Well, they're getting
right?
something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they get.
Fish?
Do they
I'm
eat fish?
It doesn't seem like fish.
I would think it's fish.
Like little tiny ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bugs?
Sure.
Yeah, that too. Some worms.
So he would catch some for his date and then like feed them to her?
Maybe she feeds her own self.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
She's
right.
Splitting the bill.
Boom.
Oh,
brought
boy.
It back.
Yeah,
it's
we
a strong
went,
show.
It was a beautiful walk yesterday in the forest preserve.
Nice.
And my son Griffin was skipping rocks as well on the little creek. Do we say creek in Chicago?
No, I don't know what you just said. I don't understand that word.
Creek. Seems like something we should
say. You
mean
say. The creek?
Creek.
Yeah.
But it's just fun to say creek. I'm just down by the creek. I don't know why I would say that. I think I had
know.
Friends. I went to U of I in Champaign.
Oh,
so
then, okay.
A lot
yeah.
of friends that were from
right.
southern parts
they
of
all
the state.
Crick.
Crick. Yeah, they tilt their head. I don't know why. Crick.
You've been doing it every time, too.
Crick.
Your head snaps.
I really enjoyed that walk. What I'm saying is today, dismal. Absolutely dismal day today. And it was not helped by the fact that you know what's weird? We were going to talk to Rich Lenkov about the Chicago Public School strike on Friday, and I had to go take a tour today of a high school. Esmeralda, my son got into high school. He's 12.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So basically what I learned today, and there's a group of children throughout the Chicagoland area who can take this test, and Griffin got into a high school. Basically, he's in this program, and he can graduate from high school when he's 16, which just sounds crazy.
So what are you, are you going to do it?
We're leaving it up to him, but he's torn because some of his friends did not get in the program. Some of his friends got into a program at other schools. And I was telling Craig, we've been very, you know, you know, sort of generous with the time to let Griffin sort of mull it over, and also mourn the fact that he's not going to be with his friends. But at the same time, I'm like, this was never going to be an easy choice. You know, if he didn't get in, he would have been disappointed that some of his friends did and feel self-conscious about that. His friends that didn't get in are really sad. So I told Craig today, I'm like, maybe I just got to be the bad mama. And I just go, you're going to the high school and let him hate me for a while.
Right. He'll see them.
Exactly.
Not like he's a million miles away or anything.
Well, and that's what we asked a lot of the kids that are in the program already, some of the eighth graders, and they were saying that they stay in touch with the friends that didn't get mad at them. They were very honest that some of their friends...
Oh, they're not going to stay friends.
Okay.
Let's be honest about that.
You know
they're
what?
Not.
But see, that's how I am. I left my first grade school, my grade school, Onahan, where I was being picked on,
yeah,
bullied and beaten up, and I'd never looked back, and then I went to Our Savior Lutheran Norwood Park, and when I was done there, I was done. I went to Lane Tech after that. None of my classmates went to Lang Tech. After that, I was done. I went with one friend to the University of Illinois. And I guess I'm one of those people that's like, oh, next. Not that I don't like
right.
those friends. And I have my first grade friend that I've known. We've been friends since we were 6 years old.
Yeah, I have one. I have one guy that he went to a different high school than me, but we stayed friends.
Yeah.
Everybody else,
yeah.
You just mingle with new people.
If you want it, you work on it.
Yeah.
That's all. Let's work on this. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm going to just sing.
There's a bump playing.
You don't want me to sing.
Not,
you don't want me to sing.
It's not
oh,
stuff.
Lord.
I hit
buy
this button.
Me a
then...
Mercedes Benz. My friends all
why?
Drive Porsches.
This is supposed to be playing. I don't understand.
There are people.
Why is this?
I like that Esmeralda was dancing and other people are just weeping.
If I back
cars.
Up in this audio, we're going to hear Duffy's voice again. We don't want that. But
What if we hear Rich Lenkov's
yeah,
voice?
Yeah, let's just do that.
Rich
okay.
Lenkov,
right.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. There's a couple things. One, we know we wanted to talk definitely about the Chicago Public strike, this teacher strike on Friday. What are your thoughts? Is there a case to be made to sue the union for violating any laws?
Well, yeah. I mean, we covered this extensively on Friday. We had a labor professor on, and we covered it on Legal Face-Off. But, yeah, you know, since then, CPS has filed not really a lawsuit so much as they're seeking injunction relief before the Labor Relations Board. So they definitely have a basis. You know, we discussed the issue on Friday as to whether the strike, whether the walkout on Friday was legal. No one seems to really know the answer to that. I personally think that it wasn't a legal strike given the state law that says that they have to exhaust the cooling off period, but of course, the teachers' union argued that it was legal because it wasn't a contract issue. It was more of a unfair labor practices issue, and that violated a federal statute. So who knows?
And who would be responsible? Who would be held culpable if any determination is made against the teachers' union?
Well, the leadership of the union, I mean, not so much. I don't think individuals would be responsible as much as the organization itself. They are seeking reimbursement for expenses associated with the strike. So if they were to win, that would be a judgment against the union itself, not so much the individual leadership or teachers, although I suppose that's a possibility.
And is there any sort of legal action against a group like that when, let's say, because of all the traffic jams that were caused from this protest, if like a doctor doesn't have access to a patient because of they just couldn't get through traffic, or if there's some sort of an emergency, is there ever any legal issues in that sense?
You know, you could always sue anyone for anything. That's something that we all know in this
sure.
country. It probably wouldn't go very far. I mean, it would be more likely that they would face criminal prosecution if, you know, the police felt that they were unlawfully assembling, or, you know, their protest got to the point where they were, you know, going sort of over the line, then they could be arrested criminally. But in terms of a civil suit, that probably wouldn't go anywhere, just given the breadth and the size of the protest.
And so the question about the legal aspect of their protest, is there anything that they've said in return? Will the furlough days violate our contract, or are those covered by the contract?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. There is no contract currently. The contract expired back in June of last year. So the teachers are currently teaching under sort of a status quo, almost like a month to month.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of your lease expiring and you continue to live in your apartment under a month to month, That's sort of what the teachers are doing now.
Right.
They don't have a contract formally. So what they have said is that because CPS failed to provide them with raises, which, you know, they'd be entitled to, and because CPS stopped paying their pension match, then those two things mean that the Chicago Public Schools violated this federal statute. They committed an unfair labor practice, and therefore the, you know, CPS took the first strike, and that was illegal. Therefore, what they're doing is merely reaction, and therefore it's not illegal. On the other hand, what CPS says and what Forrest Claypool has said very publicly is that this is, you know, basically a contract move that the union walked out on Friday because they want raises and they want other things that they've argued for. And according to state law, it's clear that they can't do that until this waiting period and cooling off period has expired, which won't happen until May. So, you know, a couple of different sort of competing arguments based on which statute you follow.
Well, and I'm guessing that a lot of this, obviously, well, it has to be tied up, too, with the impasse we're experiencing down in Springfield without a budget. So we have no state budget. There's no teacher's contract. Do you have any sense of how long? Because it seems as though everybody's just sort of devouring each other now. You saw teachers sort of cussing out, not even sort of, actually saying F you to the police department. One of the speakers was and then applauded. But I'm sure that there were, I'm hoping there were people that were booing that. This isn't what we really intend, I think, when we're talking about our union rights or, you know, labor rights, is to sort of devour each other in this venue, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see a budget realistically till September. That's what I'm hearing as of actually today. If you look at the sort of tone coming out of Springfield, there's, you know, they're still at an impasse. I mean, there were, you know, Christine Redonio, the Senate Minority Leader, was talking today. The strike on Friday, I don't think, had the effect that the teachers' union wanted it to. It didn't serve to, you know, inspire Springfield or the Republicans or the governor to act. In fact, I think it had the opposite effect. It maybe made them more strident. If you're downstate, if you're, you know, in the suburbs of Chicago and you look at the strike, I don't think you sympathize with the teachers. I think you think, you know, this is more of Chicago politics, more, you know, union action, and we don't want to, you know, spend our taxpayer dollars to fix this issue. That's the way I think it's perceived outside the city of Chicago.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's going to be an easy solution for anybody, but it's, you know, definitely the kids that are having the toughest time. Before we go, and by the way, we are talking to Rich Lenkoff, the pretty late half of Legal Face Off. You can find them on WGNplus.com. And with the other guy, what's his name? Jason something or another? Jason?
We've just changed his name legally to the other guy.
The other guy. I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
Does he have that website claimed, theotherguy.com?
Exactly. He got it.
Are you watching O.J. Simpson on FX, the American Crime? Is that what it's called? American Crime, the People Against O.J. What is it called? It's got like a longer title. Everyone just calls it the O.J. Show.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen the last one, but I'm definitely watching it. I got one last episode to go. Might have aired tonight or tomorrow, but we had Alan Dershowitz on. He's a regular Legal Face-Off guest. We had him on last show to talk about how the movie depicted him, and he had some really interesting things to say. And obviously, he felt that it wasn't accurate and it was full of a lot of, you know, lies. But, you know, we asked him. He's been depicted on film a couple of times in this show, and then also in Reversal of Fortune, the Klaus von Bülow murder movie from, you know, 20 or 25 years ago. And he liked his portrayal in that movie a lot better than the one in this movie.
Well, because this is much more of a, like, win at all costs and turn a lie into the truth kind of a thing. Wasn't that kind of how he came across in this one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he sort of comes across as a little bit of a caricature in this one. I think he does, you know, there is that one scene, I think, where he faxed in the note
to
Penny Cochran, and he uses it in front of the jury, which, by the way, was completely made up. That evidence, the suggestion of a Colombian necktie, that never was in front of the jury. That was, you know, behind behind closed doors in Ito's chamber. So,
and in that scene where basically it looks, Johnny Cochran looks as though he's getting information, and it's the Colombian necktie that you mentioned. What they're saying in the show is that that was said in front of the jury to create speculation, a sort of a shadow of doubt, in essence.
Yeah, unfortunately, it never happened. I mean, it was an issue, but it was dealt with behind closed doors in Ito's chamber. So that was an example of something that Dershowitz thought was
a little
inaccurate about the movie.
Let's talk about how the whole thing wraps up when we get a chance, because it's been fun to watch. It's more of a nostalgia thing, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
It's cool to see all the old all the old styles. It's weird to go, right, nobody had a cell phone. We've been talking to Rich Lenkov from Legal Face Off. You can catch their podcast at WGNplus.com with the other guy. We'll talk with Jason Whiteside. We will talk to you again, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I am so pleased and honored to welcome to our studio. I'm actually pre-recording this because we have a busy gentleman in our studio. We have Sheriff Tom Dart joining us, and I want to thank you. It's a beautiful day, so it's kind of weird for me. I'm not used to sunlight. But you, how many hours does a guy like you put in? 70, 80? Do you stop counting?
I do. You know, it's interesting because at one point a few years back, I decided to sort of start keeping my own hours because at that point I was asking my staff to what I thought was reasonable for the upper level people to put in, 9 to 10 hour days. And I often felt that I couldn't ask them to do it if I wasn't doing it. And so I did it for, I want to say, about 3 months. And I was averaging 60 to 70 hours. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I wanted to vomit because I have – 5 young children who I'm very close to.
Which is also a full-time job.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where I've gotten better at modulating it by I do a little bit more work on the phone, but I'm usually in the office itself for about 10 hours every day, something
right.
like 10.
Man.
And then I'm on the phone. And on the weekends, I'm with the kids 24/7. But I'm on the phone here and there. But the phone conversations, people realize, unless it's really bad, the conversations are, 5 minutes. And
right. You got to be selective.
Yeah.
And
most of the stuff we're dealing with too, Patty, it's like if you can't get it across in 5 minutes, I am hanging up on you because these are pretty straightforward things usually.
Isn't there somebody else in the chain of command that can field this phone call?
Yeah. You know what? Part of it is because I enjoy – I really do. People – are always puzzled by me. I guess I'm puzzled by me too. But they, why I like the job so much, and I truly, truly do love it. And it's one of those things that because of that, I want to be very involved. Mm-hmm. And so many of the different initiatives that we have done, which are, so darn vast, I started it. I mean, trust me, I've got some great staff. I have some great staff, but most of the initiatives were things that I dreamed up. It wasn't as if, I'm sort of this empty vessel and I've got people pumping me with, let's try this, let's try that. People will occasionally come up with a different idea, but normally it's something that I come up with. And then we'll all, get together, we'll tweak it a little bit here and there sometimes. But because I come up with a lot of these ideas, mm-hmm. So when things are going either south or when there's a concern, they figure they better get a hold of me because I'm real involved with it.
Right. If it was your concept, you must have an answer for the question at hand.
Yeah. I mean, so the hours, it's interesting. I've gotten better, I think, at managing it somewhat, but it's demanding, but it never seems that way. Like my days, they fly by. Honest to God, I cannot tell you how often I'm sitting there and it's like, I can't believe it's 6 o'clock. I thought it was noon. And it's like, oh my God.
What led you down this path for your, was this something you thought someday I want to be sheriff? Because I don't know.
I've often said to people, this is probably just the culmination of my career, poor career choices.
wow. I don't think I did as well as you did then.
Yeah. It's interesting. I love what I'm doing, but there was no point in my youth where I wanted to be a police officer, sheriff, anything like that. I was a prosecutor for about 5 years. And
well, there had to be something that led you to law school and to go into prosecuting. I'm going to guess a sense of justice.
To be honest with you, it was. I mean, early on, I really found myself attracted to working on issues that were involving communities that needed help,
right.
for lack of a better word. And so I thought in the prosecutor's office that I could impact by helping victims of crimes and try to, give them back a little bit of sense of justice. And then I enjoyed that, but I thought that I needed a broader sort of type of canvas as opposed to individual, you know, victims.
But have a bigger impact.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. I went to the legislature. I think I did some decent things down there, but at the same time, it's such a dysfunctional.
No, come on.
No, and you know,
we haven't noticed that at all.
You know, Patty, the kicker is people harken back to the era that I was down there as the glory years, and I was like, God, I think I missed that.
Where was I sitting?
Yeah, exactly.
Which desk was that at?
Was that a floor above me or something? Because I just remember more often than not just being monumentally frustrated, not because I was some petulant little kid who was like, I didn't get my bill passed, and now I'm going to whine. It was more like, no, this is a very good idea. It's been very vetted. It's been worked on with, mm-hmm. and we just are getting nothing done here. And I understand democracy and I understand the Constitution and all the rest of it. I understand that. But yet the inability to really get things done eventually really got to the point where I had to get out. And so I was looking for something else because I toyed with just getting out of government altogether. And
well,
just,
how long were you in the legislature? You were a representative?
11 years. I was 1 year in the Senate filling out a unexpired term for somebody, then 10 years in the House.
Wow. Okay.
And it was productive probably for, you know, for me as far as where I really thought I was getting a lot done, it was the first part of it. And then toward the end, it just seemed to be more just frustrations with good ideas and just going nowhere for all the wrong reasons.
Because it does seem that more and more, I mean, we had Senator Dan Katowski is one of our regulars on the show.
Yeah, Dan's a great guy.
And he's left. And I wonder how, I mean, that seems to have come from a place of I want to have a direct impact on people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. It's so unfortunate because in reality, legislative bodies throughout the country should be the petri dish for all sorts of great ideas and for, you know, changes. And it's become the opposite. Good people go down there, they become frustrated with the inertia and they leave.
Right. And that's the where we are now. I mean, and not that they're all bad people, but it seems like, you know, whatever their intentions are, they are just hitting this huge wall. You know,
they are. I mean, for myself, when we started getting involved in what has been going on in Washington for quite a while, where they had rules committees so that everything, no matter who put the bill or an idea together, had to go through a rules committee. All the rules committee was a sort of dressed up version of the leadership controlling everything. Whereas when I first got down there, you introduced a bill, it got heard.
Right.
And you introduced an amendment to anybody's bill, it got heard. Nowadays, you have to have permission basically from leadership on both sides of the aisle before you can get anything done. And who wants to do that with their life? I mean, if we could live five or six different lives, I suppose you can burn one off being frustrated down there. But if you want to get things impactful done, I think you reach a wall there and then you got to get out.
Oh, man. Well, and I hope that, you know, we find that wall, we find a couple of cracks in the wall and figure out how to all come together. And that sounds so, you know, happy, hunky-dory, but I have high hopes is all I'm saying.
I do at times, but boy, oh, boy, I just, you know, see it just getting progressively worse both on the federal level and state level.
Yeah. We are talking to Sheriff Tom Dart, and we'll have more with him in just a moment because we have so many things to cover. I'm very excited, and I hope this is the first of several visits we have from you.
More yeah, definitely.
Yay. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasca at 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are in the Allstate Showcase studio, but we're recording this with Sheriff Tom Dart because he's working about 10 to 50 hours a day. Let's just go ahead. I'm going to add math that way. That's how I do.
Yeah.
Sheriff Tom Dart, we were talking about your experience as a prosecutor and then working in the legislature. What led you to the sheriff's office then between the legislature?
You know, I left the legislature, ran for state treasurer, and lost. And I often tell people probably for the betterment of the state.
Why the treasurer's office?
Well, you know, I was looking for an executive office where I thought I can be impactful. But to be completely frank with you, I thought if I did win that I'd stay maybe one term. Not because I'm on some ego trip where I'm trying to hop around everything, but I just didn't think the treasurer's office was going to be some place where you could do anything more than you know, one term of change. And
right.
then after that, you're just really just, you know, collecting a check.
Right.
So I went there thinking there were some things I might be able to do with redirecting some investments to try to have impact in the community. But be frank with you, the other reality was is that there was very few other options as far as offices that were viable. And most people would have suggested that treasurer wasn't viable because I was running against Judy Topinka, who was a friend of mine. And it was both of us laughed about it because we both got along great.
But you don't play the accordion.
No, I know. My God, she beat me senseless whenever it came to anything involving music. It was like,
was
yeah,
great.
He doesn't can't even keep a beat. And I was like, yep, you got me on that too.
Uh-huh.
But so I ran for that, did not win, and kicked around just getting out, and then an opportunity to work in the sheriff's office in an upper level position there came about, and I was doing that for about a year or so, and was getting pretty. You know, I'm tired of that, to be honest with you, and was looking just to get out. And it was at that point that the sitting sheriff, Mike Sheehan, who's just a great person, he said he wasn't going to run again. And so I thought with the different things that I have done in the past, the things I like to do, that this could be a fit. But it was really strange, Patty, because we've obviously taken it in a very unconventional direction. So it was really going into uncharted territory as far as where we thought we could take the office. But in hindsight, it probably couldn't have been more better suited for someone like me because its mandate is actually so much larger than people think.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. One of the big questions I have, I think that people don't quite understand the distinction between the state police, the Chicago Police Department, then the suburban police departments that you also are involved with. Tell us a little bit about the Cook County Sheriff's Department.
You know, sheriff's offices pretty much throughout the country are similar in the sense that most of their mandates are just incredibly broad, and it's more a reflection of who has the office as far as what they do with it. Some are just very traditional in the sense they run a jail, they have a police department that operates in unincorporated areas, and they run the courts. There is nothing that prohibits you from going well beyond that, and that's what we've done, which is to be somewhat untraditional, to say, okay, we're in charge of evictions. Well, we just don't have to blindly just toss people in the street. We can actually use our brains.
Right. And that was a big story too, because obviously in 2008 and during the recession, you know, there were the housing market had a significant impact on people's lives. And you, I think, struck people as this symbol of, look, things are going south for so many of our citizens. Let's not rubber stamp things and go, okay, get out.
Yeah, it was so troubling to me because it was going throughout the country. Evictions, I don't think, had changed in over 100 and some years. I mean, it was just this pro forma. You didn't pay the rent. You didn't pay your mortgage. Here's your notice. You had your hearing. We're putting your stuff out the street. Good luck.
Right.
And I often thought that, the 21st century, haven't we developed a little further where we can sit there and say, let's do something novel. Let's do this thoughtfully. And in doing it, honestly, Patty,
thoughtfully, the nerve, sir.
I know. Where
what
do you
get off?
Talking
about doing things the right way?
And it
or
was
at least
so funny
striving
because
for it. Yeah.
It didn't require us to spend money. It just required us to be thoughtful. And in doing that, what we did is we basically changed the model into a social work type of model, namely that treat the person who's being evicted as someone who's in distress. Sit there, explain to them what their legal rights are, and if they need lawyers, here's where you go to get them. But more importantly, to sit there and say, here are services that are publicly available right now as we exist that we can help connect you to make this less traumatic than it needs to be. Because I often told people, I go, what, is that part of the eviction process? We want to humiliate people and cause as much trauma as possible
sure.
so that we send them a message? I go, I missed that one.
Right. Where was that taught?
No, let's kick them, too, while we're at it. And I just remember, because I'd go out on the evictions myself, Patty, and it was so heartbreaking. I mean, are there horrible tenants who know the laws better than the landlords do, who hurt good people?
Thank you for addressing that, because I have a neighbor who went through a really stressful situation. But yes, go continue.
No, but I mean, there is that group that who truly, they know the eviction laws better than the judges, so that they know when to file a motion at the 11th hour, when they can come in and get something stayed so that they sit there rent-free for extended periods of time. So there are those people. But specifically during the Great Recession there, that was a minority of the people. The majority were just good people who've run upon hard times. And we were of the opinion that we have to be the folks who set up and say, listen, we're going to do this a little differently. And when I was going to these houses, it was beyond heartbreaking. I mean, I can't tell you how many houses where it was a senior by themselves. Many times there was elements of dementia had kicked in, all alone, and they have checks sitting there they've never cashed, having all sorts of issues. And in the past, we'd just throw them out the door and their stuff would go with them.
Right.
What we did is we started going out weeks, months ahead of time to these places, talking to the families, talking to the people in the house and saying, listen, this event is going to occur, but here's what we can do to mitigate it, or this event does not need to occur, and here's how you can get out in front of it. But at the end, we were placing people in settings that they should be in. The single mothers that were frequently who I would see with their children being dumped into the street with all their property taking, we were setting up a thoughtful approach where they were going into a different setting. Because honestly, I can't tell you how many times I sat there inside a house just thinking to myself, that doll over there, the meager possessions this little child has, that's the same doll my daughter has. And if she didn't have that doll to go to bed with, she's not going to bed. And for some reason, it's okay for me just to take all of her stuff. She's obviously done nothing wrong. Dump it on the street, knowing full well most of her stuff's going to get stolen. Because usually when the parent would go to find transportation, someone would pick through their things and they'd steal things. And it's like, and somehow we're okay with that. That it's okay to have this person treated in this fashion, have these children harmed. And so we changed it. And for me, it was exciting to do, setting a different tone, different model. But it was clearly not what sheriff's offices around the country are doing. But it was more like, we keep saying, it's like, well, let's keep doing it until people tell us we have to stop.
Let's see what happens. We are talking to Sheriff Tom Dart, who's been shaping and molding the function and scope of the sheriff's department in Cook County. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am in the Allstate Showcase studio. This is a pre-recorded interview. I like telling people that because I know that the phone lines will certainly line up for Sheriff Tom Dart. Have you done radio shows where you get calls from listeners? I know I've heard you interview.
And actually, I really do enjoy those.
So someday you'll stay up late with us.
I'll come back and do it live. It's actually funny, though, Patty. I've done the other ones where we've pre-recorded it live, but we didn't tell the public, which, I mean, it wasn't my call, and I don't blame anybody for it. But it's funny because then you're trying to sit there and say, I better not comment about how beautiful it looks outside now because it's supposed to be midnight right now.
Yeah, you know? Well, and I'm trying to find out when we're going to be able to air. We're going to air the whole thing. We'll podcast it. It'll be available for everybody. I just assume tell people that I've recorded something. I'm in the middle of the night. I mean, the chances I'm going to get Sheriff Tom Dart on my very first interview to hang out until 2 in the morning is. Or at least if we can get you from 11 to midnight. I swear I'll let you go at midnight.
Oh, I could pull that off.
I promise there'll be pizza.
The kids better be asleep by then.
Yeah, no kidding. We were talking a little bit about how you changed the scope of the Cook County Sheriff's Department. Is it department or office?
I think office.
You think you don't know? Okay, good. I feel better not knowing myself then. Everyone's like, she doesn't prepare very well. No, he's not sure either.
He doesn't know either.
He doesn't know. I wanted to talk about Abden. Is he your press?
Abden has like multiple roles. Okay. He works some press, mm-hmm. works some community related things. He's actually been actively involved in this really wild thing we got involved with where. WBEZ first reported on in Puerto Rico, they were
sending
people to not just Chicago, but other states under the notion they were going to these great drug rehab programs. Mm-hmm. And there was all these like brochures and promises of, you know, you'll be sitting by the pool, by the waterfall. And there are these, you know, horrific, you know, buildings that I don't even know how to describe them because they're not licensed.
Not flop houses, but even just like.
And they have this sort of like unique program that they say is based on AA, but the AA people don't have anything to do with them. And it's like tough love. And
oh my God.
It's very, and we ended up getting involved with them on multiple levels, not just because they had mentioned it to us and we thought that there was something wrong with this notion of, you know, having families pay for your loved one to have a ticket to Chicago to go to a treatment facility. It's not what it says is. That was a problem A, but problem B was is many of them were then ended up in the jail because, you know,
they didn't survive the program.
Program wasn't working for them at all. And so Abden's been absolutely incredibly helpful. He and Patrick and two other people have just been working their tail off on that. And so we've been he's got a full menu, but it's in our place. It's interesting. We like anyone else, we have titles, but many of us, including myself, we do a lot of different things.
Well, one of the things that caught my attention, because he did send over some of the you know, the cases and the projects that you have been working on, and I would like him to send like sort of a you know, fundamentals for sending information out to other other press secretaries or people that are community outreach, because this is very helpful. I know a lot of people are familiar with the fact that you decided to appoint a psychologist in charge of the jail.
Yeah,
and talk a little bit about how. Or, you know, we heard that and everyone went, well, that makes sense, because so many people who end up being incarcerated are really mentally ill. And we can talk about this. Whenever there's a big shooting, they're like, oh, well, if there had only been treatment or if we caught this along the way. And yet there seems to be such a shortfall in how much support we have for mental health care.
Yeah. You know, it's been something that we couldn't help but confront pretty much from the outset. And I remember pretty clearly when I first became sheriff going into one of the living units and asking someone, you know, and obviously I wasn't being sarcastic, but I was, it's like, are we in the jail now? Or are we in a mental health hospital? I mean, clearly, you know, just based on what I was seeing around me. And when we started really digging into the numbers and the like, it was incredible what we were finding out. And that's one of the things I've often mentioned to people, that my predecessor, Mike Sheehan, was the first one to jump on the fact that the management system for this jail was just horrific. It was a DOS-based computer system. So he'd gone about getting a real one. And it came to fruition, I think, about a year or so after I became sheriff, we got a real computer system. But prior to that, it was a DOS-based computer system. And I mentioned people, we're lucky to let you know how many people were in the jail, let alone what their names were. And so here you have a jail, which was no different than most around the country, frankly. It was pretty much the same, with no data to be able to sit or mine through and figure out, who do you have here?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, do we have the court order to say, hold, you know, John Smith? Yes, we have that. We can tell you that. But why is John Smith here? What's his particular issues? You know, yeah, he was going back and forth to hospital appointments here and there, but do we say you have unique issues and needs? And only once we were able to get sort of an actual database were we able to quantify the fact of what we knew, which was we had become the de facto mental health hospital for the county, because that's what was just filtering in over and over again. And the vast majority of them, Patty, in on the most ridiculously insignificant offenses you can imagine. But at the end of the day, they were arrested. As the case with many people with a mental illness, it's not treated. Their families get burnt out after a period of time. And so many of them are on their own then.
Right.
And so they're getting involved with law enforcement, ridiculously insignificant offense. They don't have a family to be able to help bail them out, let them live in their house.
No safety net.
Nothing. So they end up staying in our place. And then the state decides to put the cherry on top of it and just eviscerate all the mental health programs. So you have this revolving door of people just coming in over and over again. And so I figured it out relatively quickly. And it was at that point I thought that, you know, I can sit and whine or go down and, you know, introduce pointless bills in Springfield, or just within our own little universe we have here, let's go at a different way. Let's treat them the way they should be treated, as patients, people who are sick, not criminals. And let's put a lot of emphasis on treatment, discharge plans, plans for success when they leave, things like that. And it's taken
logical, a logical
yeah,
plan.
Yeah, and we worked on it for probably, I had it going strong for about 5 years before we brought Nika on to run the jail component of it. So we'd given her pretty much it pretty formed, well formed, and she then became a natural fit then, having a psychologist run the whole thing, because I turned it into a psychologist type of model, you know, and how we were operating. So it was – she's phenomenal, and it's great having her here. It's another piece of it.
Well, before I take a break here, I do want to say I was impressed. And I don't know what the response was when you tweeted out about the cuts or the at least the state budget impasse, and that Governor Rauner's sort of stubbornness has hurt a lot of people. What was the response you got from that tweet? I think it was retweeted a lot.
It was. It was. And I didn't expect it necessarily. And it was, you know, you get so numb to some of this stuff, because I find myself talking about it all so often that I just sometimes wonder if anyone's paying attention. So
that was.
Yeah, I know. And I was so excited about that
.
Because I kept saying, this is not humane, obviously, and it's not fiscally smart. It's none of the above. And these folks need to have treatment options. They don't want to be here in a jail. And I certainly don't want to be the largest mental health provider in the state either. So let's be thoughtful. And, you know, it hasn't resulted in anything yet, obviously, but we're not going away. I keep saying we're not going anywhere.
Well, we're not going away. We have another segment here with Sheriff Tom Dart. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And I think I have to leave soon. I have to let the sheriff go. I'm sure he's got a lot of work to do. But we've had such a great conversation. This is pre-recorded, and I look forward to having you live in the studio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Really am, Patty.
And I promise pizza or whatever you like. What's your favorite food? I'll even send some leftovers for the kids.
Yeah, I tell you, pizza is right up the top. That and macaroni and cheese seem to be all I eat these days.
Ooh, I got to hook up at Knife and Tine. I can get you some good
bacon. That'd be awesome. My kids will love you forever.
If they put bacon on their
Oh, my kids love bacon.
Okay, I got to hook up for you. I'll make
outstanding. My kids will insist I leave the house.
Right. Cool. Are you going to Patty's show again?
Exactly.
Bring home some bacon macaroni.
Well, that's actually funny. So we have a really cool cooking program in the jail taught by an Italian chef named Bruno Abadi. He has a phenomenal restaurant called Tocco up in Wicker Park. He has been working with me for 2 years now. He comes in out of his own dime and has for years. He teaches the detainees amazing cooking skills, and they make all their pasta by hand. They make their sauces by hand. I had an incredibly generous individual named Ron Gedwitz who put together some people who donated a wood fire pizza stove that's nice. In the division too, and he's taught the inmates how to make pizza. So he makes these incredible dishes. They're phenomenal. I'm close to getting some ordinances changes to allow us to sell that the stuff we make out in front of the jail for lunch and things like that. But Bruno made some lasagna that it was phenomenal. He sent some over to me to take home. I took it home. My daughter just loved it. And so she wants me to get Bruno to get the inmates to make more lasagna.
Daddy, can you get the inmates to make us more lasagna? That's not a conversation most families have.
Yeah, exactly.
that's going to be unique to the sheriff. I think that I think I'm going to create a sitcom series around. Yeah. I'm not going to make it on your family. It'll be I'll fictionalize it.
We're definitely tuned up for it, though.
That's wonderful. And what does your family think? How old are your kids?
6, 8, 10, 12, and 14.
Look at you with the spacing.
Well planned, absolutely. Yeah, right.
Well, it seems pretty well thought out. As you said earlier, you are about thoughtfulness.
Yeah, right. I tell you, my wife and I, after we got married, we were going to take a year, do some traveling, things like that, and our son came 9 months from the wedding day. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, that is kind of spectacular.
Yeah, exactly.
Well
done, both of you. Yeah, yeah.
But, well, do you travel with the kids? Do you have that kind of time?
We do, but it's usually smaller trips. Mm-hmm. My mom has a small house over in Indiana that whenever I get a long weekend or something, we'll run up there because it's less than an hour away or something. And
depending on traffic.
Yeah, but we don't do much. We just hang out and we watch movies together and we build puzzles and things like that. And they're young enough where they still like being around dad. So I always tell people that's why – mm-hmm. No one ever sees me. It's like, unless you're one of my 10,000 inmates or my 5 children, I won't see you. I don't go out at night. I'm not in the restaurants. I don't go to bars. I don't go to political events. I'm with them because I know those days, unfortunately, will end. They'll be going off to high school, college forbid, and they won't want to be with their loser dad anymore. So I'm squeezing everything I can out of it now.
I can't imagine them thinking of it as a loser dad. Do they have any idea of what the work
they do start to wonder sometimes because my big thing is I walk my – I used to take all 5 of my kids to school in the morning. My son goes to high school now, so I just take him to the bus where he gets on.
But he doesn't want you to walk him to school?
Yeah.
Dad!
I kept thinking that those days would end. I still walk my four girls to school every morning and then jump in my car and the phone's ringing and I'm off to the fun and games. But I walk the 4 of them to school, which is down the street, and I can't tell you how many times it's like, hey, guys, how about tonight when we get in line, can I just sing a song real quick? I go, it won't be real loud. It'll be short, okay?
Yeah, what'd you sing? What's a song that a sheriff starts singing?
I know I've never had to go down that road because they're so mortified that they're
dead. I say you just do it.
Oh, please.
Just once surprise them.
Oh, my God. My 6-year-old still goes to school every day on her dad's shoulders. And I thought for sure that after kindergarten, that was unfortunately going to come to an end. But sure enough, every day it's like, Danny, can I get on your shoulders? And I was like, of course, whatever. And
as I keep working out, because if you're going to high school like that, you're in trouble.
Oh, my God. You're not kidding. But I always tell people there's 1,000 kids in her school. They go to the public school down the street. And she's the only kid of 1,000 who shows up every day on her dad's shoulders. I was like, oh, my God. It explains why my shoulders are listing a little bit, too.
It's a little bit. He's got to balance the other side out, do a little kettlebell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you work out?
How
would you have time? The kids, the 10,000 inmates? Yes.
You know what I do is I will – for about 45 minutes a day, I bought on my own money. I bought an elliptical that I put in my office, and I will.
Can you do phone calls on that? That seems a little hard to do.
Well, you know what I do? I do not all of it, but I do a lot of my reading. And some people can't read when they're not. My God, I pour through stuff. And you should see at the end of the hour, 45 minutes, it's just covered with paper on the floor. So I'm ripping stuff out.
Next.
Well, literally, to the right is garbage. To the left, the stuff I got to follow up on. And then, so I've been pretty good at maintaining that just to get through the stress of the normal life that I have to make sure I have some balance there. But I've been pretty good at about an hour a day of trying to stay in shape.
Yeah, no, you look like you're in great shape. I would have pegged you as a runner.
Oh, but yeah, not the knees for it.
No.
The elliptical is my cup of tea and
easier on the
stationary
joints.
Bike occasionally too. But yeah, I tell you, I have made that a point because I like everyone else, am getting older and this job is not getting less stressful because as you take more on, which we've done, you know, my staff is great. I mean, I do think at times they're like, oh, my God, will this guy get a real life or something? Because it's like.
No, we appreciate the life that you're living.
You know, and I love it, too. It's like, you know, clearly so many different things we got involved with. We didn't have to. You know, we could have said, you know, that's not our job. We don't have to do that. But it's the very reason, I'll be honest with you, Patty, I believe that so much of the public has government at the lowest approval rating ever. It's because too many people too often are just mailing it in, and they don't have the passion. And once you don't have the passion, it seeps through everything you do. Everyone around you takes their lead from you. And then we have public who rightfully are fed up that you're just another one of the people who can't tell you what the mission of the office is, but can give you to the minute when your pension kicks in.
Let's not even go down that path because people have so many thoughts on pensions. But what do you say to that? What do you say to people who have kind of given up on government? Because I believe that sometimes if, you know, we get kind of the government that we deserve too.
We do.
I know it's a cliche, but if we're not proactive, it's one of the reasons I met you in Springfield was I went down. I wanted to see what are they doing? What is the process like? I've been trying to tell our listeners, you know, call your representatives, call your senators, tell them what's important to you. Tell them what's going on that is impacting your life so that when they are down there, they think of you. Go to their office and introduce yourself.
Yeah. And have an intelligent conversation with them, because I tell you what, I can't tell you how many times I was down in Springfield where I'd go out outside the chamber where a lot of lobbyists would be, loads of citizens would come down for the day on an issue, and frankly, where they were just out and out lied to. You know, they'll go up to and say, you know, Representative so-and-so, are you going to be able to support this bill we came down for? It's on education. And Representative so-and-so, without missing a beat, is like, education's my top priority. I believe all kids should have blah, 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 blah. And then they check the box off, he's for it, and they walk away. He had no intention of voting for it. So if you have the ability to take the time to sit down and have intelligent conversations, there's some phenomenal people that, in spite of the dysfunction, are still down there who really do care, and engage them and say, listen, not only this is what, you know, I'm not just giving you a 2-second phone call saying support House Bill 102, but you're saying, listen, what are your thoughts on this? And can you support this? And if not, tell me why you can't and what I can do to win you over for it. Because it really does. Participatory democracy requires people to be involved. And when everyone's mailing it in, and trust me, with all the kids that we have at my house, my wife and I understand there's a lot of things pulling at you, but the more you distance yourself from it and your entire knowledge comes from some blog or some website that is based on nothing, well, you're so easily set up to be deluded by people and lied to. You have to invest in this thing. Otherwise, you absolutely what you said, Patty, you get what you paid for then. You got people who are just telling you what you want to hear, have no ability to pay for it, no ability to carry it out, and you've been snookered by them again. So it's like, holding people accountable starts with you being educated. And I think too many people have walked away from that because they've got too many other priorities in their lives.
Well, that's what when I saw right here in Chicago at UIC Pavilion, people on both sides are very angry. And I asked the audience, because a week later, because we were, you know, my producer and I were there. We were at the doors when it was called off. And I saw, you know, I saw some shoving. I saw a lot of yelling. I even had one protester yelling at me, shame on you. And I stopped and I said, what?
Evil media.
No, but they didn't know who I was. I mean, they thought I was a Trump supporter. And I turned around. I said, why are you yelling at me? And he goes, I don't know. I'm sorry. And we took a selfie because that's how I do. And I mean, like, that's it. I'm like, why? What are you doing, right? What are you doing? Is that kid registered to vote? You know, what did they do in the last election? What are you going to do? So if this is your guy, right, what is it? What are you angry about? And what are you doing to make things better?
Yeah.
Instead of demanding, like, at the highest level in the presidency that someone tells you, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make America great again. I'm going to get rid of all these immigrants. I'm going to make abortion illegal and punish women. Yeah. All these things that you're like, well, first of all, that's not even something that everybody supports.
Yeah.
But secondly, what in your own life are you doing to – are you helping the people around you? Are you – you know, what are you doing in your community? What are you doing for your neighbor? Yeah. And let's start there and put the anger someplace else.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I could just tell you from the stuff that we do, like the jail, for example, we have some of the most marvelous volunteers that come there. As I mentioned, Bruno. We have another individual who hates even having his name mentioned because he is doing it for all the right reasons, who came in and has set up a photography program for the detainees that he has done the most amazing things with, and he's going to continue to do it. So is there ability to be impactful? I mean, my God, you can be impactful at the jail, trying to help people, break cycles, all the rest of the – God knows there's community groups where you can be impactful and do stuff. To just mail it in and just be angry – how has that helped? And I often will say to people, how in God's name are you helping that next generation? And some people are so selfish they just don't care. But
right.
at some point, we're all going to be taking our last breath. And when we are, I would hope we're all looking into the mirror a little bit and saying, did I make this a better place than it would have been without me? And if the answer is no, it's not too late to start now. But boy, oh boy, you better start now and stop with just the mindless, pointless anger that's directed in a general way. Be angry about a specific point with a solution attached to it and turn that anger into some action there. I mean, come on. This isn't rocket science. God knows if it was, I couldn't figure it out.
I can't. Do I have to go? We have to go. All right, then fine.
I'll come back.
Please do, Sheriff Tom Dart. How should people, like if they want to send you something, do you have your Twitter account? They can follow you on Twitter.
Twitter, we have a pretty active Facebook site and
yes.
the like. I wouldn't lie to people. I'm not actually managing it. I read lots
I've
of
I've only
it.
Seen you tweet a couple times, so
yeah,
it's just when something strikes you.
I read it sometimes, but I have a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, it's got a couple. Plus, he's got five kids. Come on, everybody.
Yeah, how about it?
We'll have
baseball practice to get to.
Sorry. I don't want to keep
No, it's okay. None tonight.
All right, then. Sheriff Tom Dart, we look forward to having you back.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much. You're listening pretty late. More after this on 720 WGN. We're not doing this right now, Craig.
What?
All right, fine. We can do this right now.
Okay.
We can do a little bit of this.
A little Game of Thrones.
Very fun. First of all, very fun interview with Tom Dart.
Oh my God,
Sheriff Tom Dart was such a pleasure to talk to. Look forward to having him live in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Yeah.
But right now in the studio, we have Brandon C. Price, our sidecar tonight, who can we talk about what you're going through right now as we introduce our other guest as well?
Yes. This is day 7.5 of not smoking after
Congratulations.
Decade and a half of smoking.
I'm very proud of you, and I know this is very hard, and you're going through a tough period.
It's great.
Period.
I recommend not smoking to everyone.
Yes, not smoking. Michael Palasak also joins in the studio. I was kind of giving a little bit of a rundown to Brandon C. Price of the many appearances. Well, one on our show. He's
yeah.
a regular on
yeah,
our
yeah.
show, one of our favorites, has also appeared first on Leno, much to the dismay of the talent booker at Letterman, and then a year later was on Letterman,
yeah.
and then had been gone on to do Craig Ferguson's show, his own half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central, and most recently, and also done Conan O'Brien,
yeah.
and also done... Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
Were you in the top five? Top five?
Yeah. I'm also on day 9,000 of not smoking. So
I'm a little congratulations.
On did you do the quick math of your whole life?
I tried to.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Of your
whole I have an app that tells me.
He does. He posted the other day a screenshot of how yeah. much he has saved, how many cigarettes you haven't
really?
Had.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I've saved like $96 mm-hmm. in a week.
That's great.
Isn't that surprising?
Which I mean a lot of I bummed a lot. I drove to Indiana. A lot of times, you know, so I rolled up little tiny butts from the ashtray all into some paper when you don't have any money.
Those all come at their own cost, though.
Like, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of. I've gotten 45 hours of life back.
Wow,
hey.
That's great.
And I've not smoked 152 cigarettes.
That's great. Congratulations wow. on yeah. that. But you've noticed something significant, which is
oh right. Well, besides the flu-like symptoms and the anger, which is, I mean, I did this to myself. Like, I appreciate your pity, but like, no. it's my fault. but it's the smell and the taste.
Yeah.
As an adult, I'd never tasted or smelled a lot of this stuff. Like bananas. I used to love bananas until 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were just mushy, flavorless things that like made hangovers go away.
Yeah.
And now they're
quick
awful.
Food. They're quick,
they're
portable
like,
food.
They're like, they taste like the ground.
They'll come back. It'll come back. Give it just take some distance. Take some time away from bananas.
Everyone wears too much cologne and perfume. That mm-hmm. is a disclaimer to everyone on the train.
On the train.
You all smell.
we can all get over it though, Brandon. As Michael said, it's my 11,114th day. Not.
That's
not
a cool
smoker.
App.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I did not do the math on that.
As a reminder on when your birthday
I Googled
is.
Days from my birthday.
That's fantastic. I like that idea right there. Brandon C. Price, by the way, is the CEO and a CEO. Consider yourself the chief operating.
I like to change it all the time.
Yeah.
President, CEO, we'll go with that today.
Yeah.
It's really more
genius,
CFO. But
mastermind.
Yeah.
And CFO of Vamp, which is a... musical comedy drinking show.
I'll take it.
Music comedy drinking show?
There it is.
All right. The L. I added Al.
You do you.
Music, comedy, and drinking show, BYOB. They drink and sing while you also can. You don't have to drink. It's not required.
Yeah. You'll have fun either way. It'll be two different types of fun.
So much fun. Yeah. It's like Wayne Brady being drunk.
That's awesome.
And actually, I think you guys are more, I mean, I don't know. I just find it more engaging. It's so much
well,
fun.
Well, we do. Wayne Brady's scope. Incredible. Yes. But they, you know, they film for 3 or 4 hours and they cut it down to 30. We don't have that luxury because it's live. So we do it for an hour and we're all singing. So I've invited Wayne over Twitter to play almost every week. For the
we
last
invited
year
Wayne to be on our show. Actually scheduled him for an appearance and waited anxiously for over an hour.
There was this one time when Wayne Brady agreed to be on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and then
so good luck with that, Brandon.
To Pretty Late,
yeah,
with
did
Patty
not.
Vasquez.
Well, you know, we haven't nailed down a booking time with his people yet.
I can give you the contacts to all his people.
Oh, well, yeah? my MD Steph, the musical director, has worked with him before.
I think if you contact Wayne Brady, the best way to get a reaction is to leave a message in the form of song. That
oh,
seems like
interesting.
I can't believe since 2014 I haven't thought of
Michael
this gym
Palisak. Michael Palisak.
Use the tool we have.
Gave me an amazing idea. We have his phone number. We have Wayne Brady's phone number. We should leave him a voicemail tonight at 1:45 as our wake-up
call.
And we could tell him all the stuff he needs
and
to do.
And you can sing for him at 1:45.
I have to get all the information ready.
Get it all ready. In an hour.
I could book you May 7th, Wayne.
We're waking Wayne Brady up.
Tickets for that day will be triple.
And he will definitely never be on our show, but he may forgive Vamp.
Sorry they called you, Wayne. Hey, anyway.
His voicemail anyway will be on our show at least once, so that's great.
It'll be more than Wayne Brady was on. So you can go to vampchicago.com for showtimes. MCL is a theater, and it's on Friday nights at
Friday and Saturdays at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow night, Michael Palisak is appearing for a fundraiser. Hey, Rick Geezer, we can talk to you, but I don't want to keep you off mic. I know that you're also having an appearance coming up on WGN next week.
I do.
And but first, tell us about the show tomorrow night.
It's called Funny for Fringe 2. It's to raise money to send the high school students at West Chicago Community High School to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, cool.
So
they've
cool
been selected to perform there this summer.
Wow,
we're
so
trying
to
raise
apply
money. Yeah, they were selected by a whole lot of college educators and other professionals, and they selected them to one of the only high school groups in the United States to perform over there. And then Michael has agreed to perform to help raise money.
Yeah, and then I get to go with them, right?
You do. You're the chaperone.
I helped them raise money in the fall.
You did.
Where's my? I'll be a chaperone.
You're a chaperone as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Where and when is the show tomorrow night?
It is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the auditorium at West Chicago Community High School in downtown West Chicago. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets at the door, or if you want to get them right now, online at WEGO Theater, WEGO Theater, .com.
And that's an opportunity to see Michael Palisak, one of the country's top comics. Who else is on the show tomorrow night?
We also have Dobie Maxwell, Brian Hicks, Vince Moranto, and Mike Preston.
Oh, cool. Very nice show. That'll be very fun. Congratulations on that. Yeah. So, Michael, when you do a show like that, right, because it's a great auditorium, by the way, a great audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Patty did the first one. It was with Patty and Mike Toomey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Pat McGann.
Are you a Cubs fan, by the way?
I'm from the South Side, so I'll go to a Cubs game if someone gives me tickets.
I got to turn your microphone off now. I'm teasing.
They won today.
See, we can be friends.
Yeah.
Cubs won. They announced their presence with authority. 9-0.
With 3 in the last inning Arrieta had walked away with like a 2-hitter.
So good.
Wow.
So awesome.
So
I mean, Pujols, Trout, nobody, nobody could do anything on that team.
Nothing. This is a great way to open the
season.
Yeah,
it's going to be so much fun to have them as my fallback team. I'm really excited for you guys.
He's an Atlanta Braves guy.
Voted worst team in the league this year.
Wow.
Postseason.
It's kind of fun.
No,
I think that's a perfect balance, I think.
But you can root for Hayward, right?
You guys can have him, and I hope something bad happens.
Okay, so you're not going to root for Jason Hayward.
No way. He's terrible locker room presence, completely undervalued until he left, and he got a bunch of money, and all of a sudden he's good again. That sounds great to me.
There you go. There's the overview of that. Oh, we have to take a break right now. Well, more with our guests when we come back. We are hanging out
anyway.
With
Jason. Listening to the broadcast.
Comedian Michael Palisak.
We have Wayne Brady. I swear to God.
We have sports song expert Rick Geezer in the studio with us. Was that the best way to describe
that? Is
that's your title? And we have the CFO and mastermind behind Vamp Chicago. Go to vampchicago.com for more information, and go to WeGo. What was it again?
WeGo Theater.
WeGoTheater.com for ticket information for tomorrow night's show in West Chicago. More after this on 720 WGN. They're singing, go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win. Go, Cubs. I just love the way that sounds. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Just joined by some of my favorite people. I can't remember when I've had people that I know so well in the studio. We have Brandon C. Price, the CFO and genius mastermind behind Vamp Chicago.
I want a different title every time I'm introduced.
All right. Every time you're introduced or just on each
just
night?
In general,
just
I'm
in
following
general.
You.
All right, then. And a recent quitter of smoking. How's that?
It's great. It's been 30 minutes since I talked about it last. Or no, even less.
Much less than
And now
that.
We're thinking about it again. This is going well.
I asked him earlier, I'm like, is it every step you take? Still not smoking. Still not smoking. That's good. I know that you're
not doing it.
Great. You're doing
it. I'm doing it, Peter.
We also have in studio with us comedian Michael Palasak, who has just an incredible list of credits at his name. And I saw you so early on in your career.
Yeah.
We were working together at places like Joe's and obviously Zany's,
yeah.
My home club. Do you consider Zany's to be your home club?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Zany's has been most supportive than anybody over the years. I mean, yeah. They're the whole reason I have a lot of appearances of Vanilla Hit.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is it's been a great place for us to build our careers,
yeah.
And it's such a great club. And, of course, from Zany's as well is Rick Geezer, who is the publicist.
I am the publicist.
And also a producer, who have been a producer of WGN radio shows
for
as well.
For years.
And next Tuesday, you're a regular on Nick D's show.
Yeah, I'll be on Nick D's show Wednesday night here.
Doing the sports songs.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah. Nice.
And then your appearance on WGN television with Mike Toomey on Cubs opening day.
It's scheduled for Tuesday, but Mike realized that opening day is Monday, so I think it's probably going to be moved.
Okay. They got time to figure it all out. Do you have a favorite baseball sports, like an athlete that sings a...
I do. My favorite is Jimmy Pearsall.
Oh, really?
A lot of folks may not remember him, but he was the White Sox announcer for years.
Mm-hmm.
He was Cubs coach, and he played for the Red Sox. There's a movie, Fear Strikes Out, about him.
Okay.
And he went crazy during baseball. But he put out a rap song in 1987,
like
an instructional rap called... No, he actually suffered from mental illness.
Oh, okay.
And they did a movie with him called Fear Strikes Out in the 50s, starring Anthony Perkins and Carl Malden.
I feel like I've seen this movie.
You probably have. The movie, he's...
They don't play it as like a mental breakdown as much, do they?
A little bit, yeah. They do. He climbs the backstop and he yells for his father. And,
wow. Yeah. I'm combining a couple different stories. I thought, isn't there one where a pitcher loses his arm
yes.
as a movie?
That's Rookie of the Year.
No.
No, his arm becomes amazing.
Yes.
Wait, now which one's the one with Dennis Rookie. Quaid as a rookie? As
That's
a pitcher.
Called the rookie.
That
the
is
rookie.
Called the rookie.
He's an old rookie. Rookie of the Year is like a young rookie.
But he's got a normal arm.
Yeah, but in Rookie of the Year, they have Gary Busey as like a journeyman, and he's like 60.
He also doesn't have a normal arm. In Rookie of the Year, he breaks his arm, and then it becomes amazing.
The tendons have healed a little tight.
He's always like this. Oh, dear.
And which one had flubber?
What?
No, that was basketball.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. We've thrown way too many movies.
Has Air Bud played baseball yet?
What?
Air Bud. He's the dog that plays basketball. He plays football.
Why is he doing this with his snout?
Because he bites the ball to shoot
The best dog baseball movie is Sandlot, for sure.
Oh, for sure. The best baseball movie is maybe Sandlot.
Field of Dreams.
Cool Runnings.
Oh. Who's the sports expert again?
I don't understand what happened. Esmeralda, do you have a favorite sports movie?
What's the one with the Atlanta Braves?
Oh, such your favorite one.
No, Major League.
Yeah, I like those.
No, that's the Indians.
That's the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, the Cleveland
Indians. You're thinking of 1995. Easy to get them confused. 1-1.
Because you're thinking of the Thomas. So.
Fine. Same league, almost.
Is there another movie with the Braves? Is there a movie?
No, I think it's that, because I'm thinking Braves and the Cleveland
Bill Leff is in Major League. He's one of the fans in the stands.
Ooh. Yes, he is. He's one of the crazy twins. Really? Yeah.
Too high, I thought.
When the announcer just gives up and here's Serrano, he's 0-for, I don't know. It's just so good.
And that's a comic, too.
Buker. Skip Kreparis. Yeah. Yeah, he's the color guy in the booth.
Wow.
Yeah. He's Monty.
Yeah.
Yes. His.
Those movies really turned around the Indians. Like 3 years later, they were in the World Series.
Because there was so much like excitement.
Yeah. Carlos Baerga said, I want to be on that team.
I enjoy that movie. I like that one a lot. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, though. I'm a big fan of Bull Durham. I just because it's got such a love for it and a reverence at the same time.
But reverence? You're
irreverence.
Okay.
Irreverence.
I thought you said reverence. I was like, then it has to be Field of Dreams.
Oh, there's...
And there's something about minor league players where it's like, oh, they're definitely passionate about it. And it was before steroids, so...
It was before we knew so much about how prevalent steroids were.
You're allowed to use them. Andros is cool. Mark McGwire was like, yeah, I did it. And I hit a lot of home runs, and that went well.
Did I see that they're retiring Sammy Sosa's number?
I,
I heard they're retiring his jersey. Am I wrong? Maybe it was The Onion. There was a lot of maybe it was April Fool's. So many things on April Fool's. That was an exhausting day to be on Facebook. I just left.
I avoided it.
It was ridiculous. Although my favorite was Bruce Campbell as the new Doctor Who. Did you see that one?
Oh, that's awesome.
That was a good April Fool's. I know. And he's got like a blue blazer and like a gold chain. It's fantastic. I kind of like that April Fool's one. So, yeah, my favorite is definitely Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I've gone down a path of movies and I didn't intend to. How many songs do you have up to bat for Mike Toomey's show? For the appearance on WG?
I prepared and we discussed maybe 30 songs.
Oh my God.
And so we'll see. I haven't seen the final edit.
Right.
So we'll see what he uses.
All of a sudden, it's an hour long segment. There's no, Demetrius isn't doing the weather.
Well, I've worked
Paul Conrad's got to sit down and watch.
I've worked with Mike with this for years because he and I used to record and share some of these songs years ago. And so he knows I've had this collection, but he couldn't believe how many baseball songs I brought him.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And Michael Palasek is going to be at the fundraiser tomorrow night at West Chicago High School. You can go to wegotheater.com for ticket information. And so are you in town doing other shows?
Yeah, I'm doing Comedians You Should Know on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday, maybe I'll try to stop by Zany's in Rosemont. I haven't told anybody yet.
It'll be a surprise. So you just tweet out. Tweet it out. Let us know.
And then Friday, if anybody's listening up north, I'm doing a show called One Night Only in Madison, Wisconsin at the Barrymore.
Okay. Oh, the Barrymore's a great theater. Yeah. That's a nice one. I opened for Puppetry of the Penis up there when I was traveling with them. Greg knows. That was my job for a while.
Yeah? You did stand-up?
I was their opening act for 3.5 months here at the Lakeshore Theater before it became the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And then I did the Barrymore. I did theaters in Milwaukee. I was touring with them.
Yeah.
Just I had my own car. Those guys were naked a lot. They were strange Australians. What's going on? How's Hollywood? Is everything good in LA?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I'm doing.
Disneyland a lot.
Yeah, still? I renewed my pass, and it's great because I heard they're building a whole Star Wars world. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that.
Brandon, need to come out with me sometime, and we'll hang out with Michael Palasek and Disneyland.
The Star Wars world.
Yeah,
maybe.
Those are three things I'm into.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the Harry Potter one at Universal?
Yeah. That opens, I think, the 7th, April 7th. So that's, there's a lot going on in LA.
That's the one where, it's a whole entire Harry Potter world and, you can go and the wands actually do stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really, I went in Florida and, you can do magic with you can move stuff with the wand. And the weirdest part is you're driving down the highway and then you see Hogwarts from the interstate. And I'm, almost swerving off the road. What are you doing?
In LA?
Yeah,
it's so very strange.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very close to where I stay in LA. It's strange because it's just weird sort of it's just.
Were you guys big Harry Potter books?
Yeah,
I read all of them.
Reading them mm-hmm. all again.
Wow. Okay.
Why?
I feel like it was a little late for me, and
it's never too late, Brandon.
Well, I read the first book, and I was like, "This is targeted towards people that are younger than me."
Well, I think the first book was one that she sold, so it sort of was like that. But they get darker and deeper.
I refused to read them for years, and my son kept telling me, read them, and finally I said,
fine,
I'll read them, and they're quite engaging.
It's like 24 with wizards.
Go on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, once you get going, I listen to them while I drive, so maybe it moves a little quicker, but yeah, I loved all of them.
Let's take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. I go read a Harry Potter book right now. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I've got some fun guests and friends in the studio. They're guests and friends. By the way, before I forget, Bob Ferguson really made a lot of tonight's show happen smoothly.
Yeah, that was great.
We tried to do a lot of things. And again, thank you so much, Bob Ferguson.
You nailed it, Bob.
Thank you. Yes, he did. And joining me in the studio is Brandon C. Price, tonight's sidecar, one of our regulars every Monday night. Sometimes you get busy with rehearsals and stuff, but
I'm very, but I always make time for you guys.
I know, we appreciate that.
My very busy schedule.
And every Friday and Saturday night, you can catch him at MCL with his show Vamp. You can go to vampchicago.com. It's a music, comedy, drinking show. And they improvise everything. It's pretty remarkable. Now, Michael Palasek, you've done improv before, right?
Yeah, I took classes at all the places, and so I took a music improv class. It was really fun.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't like the music improv thing. I think, myself, to try to learn it and do it.
I think it's fun because there's music, and so all you have to do is really commit hard to the idea, and however much it sucks, it'll just be funny because it sucks or whatever. I've also found if you just repeat something over and over again, that works for the song, and then also it's just funny because you're still saying the same words.
Well, for you, these guys have such a wide range of talent, both singing and access to the songs, the different styles, all of that stuff. It's
a lot
crazy.
Of fun. It's a weird art to sell. Improv's a hard word to sell anyway because it's inconsistent in its nature. But like I do workshops. I was down in Waukegan High School Friday. And so I think for the first 15 minutes, I was talking about like communications and stage presence, and like 200 kids are just like, why is this dude here? Why are we here? Spring break is in 4 hours. And so I was just like, all right, you guys want to know what I do for a living? Who can beatbox? And I got somebody up and beatboxing stage, like, just give me something. And we made up a rap song about chicken nuggets for like 5 minutes. And then the rest of the 2 hours, I had their attention because you're right. Material, even when sung, is so much more powerful. Mm-hmm. Harmonies make everything funnier.
Yeah.
You can just say stupid words over and over and over again. If it's a three-part harmony and they know that they didn't plan it, you win every time. But it's not just stupid. We're really funny and talented. Please come see it.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. And tomorrow night, that's Friday and Saturday nights at MCL, vampchicago.com. MCL is on...
MCL is like Sheffield and Belmont, right off the Red Line stop.
And again, go to vampchicago.com for those shows. And we also have Michael Palasak, who is appearing at West Chicago High School tomorrow. You can go to WeGo Theater for ticket information, wegotheater.com.
What time is that show?
7 o'clock.
Cool.
Yeah, I remember I was stuck in the worst traffic. Are you? Where are you going to be coming from because of traffic getting
Orland
there?
Orland Park.
Okay.
Is that bad?
Well, 94? I don't know. Yeah. I would think so. Around that time.
Where's the traffic person?
Ezra, she's out there right now.
Surely
she
does someone for this.
A lot of the late night traffic.
She usually goes out to see what it's like out there.
You know,
she's
not far from St. Charles.
Okay.
The Zanies in St. Charles. Gotcha.
There you go. It's definitely a good reference point.
Yeah. It's a good hour.
Yeah. From no matter where you go to West Chicago or St. Charles, it takes an hour to get there. I don't understand.
There's a great restaurant there that serves pre-Hispanic Mexican food.
What is it? Oh, I see. Like indigenous food of Mexico from before the Spaniards came in?
Like Aztecan food.
Interesting.
Mayan. Like
more human
Mayan.
Sacrifice.
What?
Oh. Yeah, right?
This
is childless.
Outstanding.
What's the name of it?
La Cocina de Maria.
Ooh, interesting. Craig, Google that one for me. We want to talk to the people from La Cocina de Maria. Mm-hmm. That Cocina?
There's five tables.
What?
Five tables.
Cinco.
Cinco.
Well done, Michael. Makes well sense. Done.
Cinco at La Cocina.
So the hours have got to be kind of like sort of tight on that, I would think.
According to I only go there for dinner, but they seem to have menu
well,
hours
it's
all day long.
When the sun hits through those two loops at the same time.
The reason I ask about the hours is I've worked in, we were talking off the air about a story that came up, and I've worked in a lot of restaurants, bars, and I worked at fast food, I've worked at, as a waitress, as a bartender. Rick, you mentioned that you worked as a pizza delivery for...
I've worked at Burger King, I've worked at hot dog stands,
Brandon, in a fast food restaurant?
I delivered for Papa John's forever, and then I cooked a bunch of pizza here at Demos, and actually it was the director of, director of operations at the new Demos in Wicker. Till I followed my real passion of making up songs.
There you go, Michael.
I always wanted to, but I never got to. I had to work in a factory, like a crappy, factory, but it was like really hard and I hated it. And I was like, my friends are just hanging out at McDonald's for free food.
Why'd you have to?
Because it paid way more and I got it. And so my dad was like, you have to go here to work.
Yeah.
I always wanted the factory jobs because they paid a lot
more.
Was it union?
I had to work there for 30 days, and I joined the union, and then they were going to bump me because I was first shift, and so I was going back to college anyway, so my dad was just...
Wait a minute. Michael just made an interesting point in the show. So you got a better opportunity than your friends, and your dad told you to take that opportunity, not the one all your friends are taking.
I know. I'm in a dilemma with my son, Griffin. Yeah. He's 12 years old, and he's been in an advanced program since he was in kindergarten. Yeah. Basically, they study at the rate 2 years above them. So as a sixth grader, he's actually at the level of an eighth grader. Mm-hmm. So they all have another program for seventh and eighth graders, which basically puts them into high school.
Yeah.
And he did the test, and there was schools all over. There were five or six schools throughout the Chicagoland area, and he got accepted into one of the academic centers. So basically he can graduate in 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Not 6 years. No, he'll have college credits. He'll have a year or 2 years of college credit by the time he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
So he can graduate high school at 16.
Yeah.
If he wants to. But some of his friends did not get into the program, and they're still in a good accelerated program. So he wants to stay for his friends. So Craig was saying, But what if, you know, what if you got into a good college and your friends didn't? Would you not go because your friends didn't?
But I think it's more, at least in my opinion, but maybe because I wasn't smart enough to do that, stuff like that. Is it like your ages are different? Like, if you get into a good college, you're still going to be around people, your peers, probably, unless right. they're all like young kids who went right out of high school or early.
Yeah, that'll be the thing when he's 16 yeah. or 18. Well, in 18, he probably won't go off to a college. He'll have, yeah. they have a program where they can earn college credit.
Yeah.
But he'll graduate as a high school student and start to earn college credit.
Yeah.
And so it's a different, I know, it's very confusing.
Well, so what age group is more affected by that, like, social adolescent, like, learning how to socialize?
Right.
Is it better to affect it now in this age, or is it, well, it happens to all of us in college anyway?
Can we think of all of ourselves in high school, and if we could have dealt with that at 14 or 13 as opposed to, like, 15?
I feel like all the awfulness started at, like, fifth grade and then didn't end until a few years ago.
I agree.
13 was the worst.
Yeah, right? The absolute worst.
Seventh grade was the worst.
No, that was a good year for me.
The grape-a-thon. Okay.
Yeah.
No. He used to put as many grapes in my mouth as they could and then hit me on the side of the face. It's called grape-a-thon.
Oh, you had really much nicer games.
Well, I'd like to say 36, so not a big deal.
That is really good to know. I'm a little bit nervous about
that,
too.
That's a lot of grapes.
Thank you.
The most I ever got was like 5.
It's all about endurance and practice.
And were you afraid of choking? Sorry to
disturb. I'm fascinated.
Actually, the zebra cakes were worse.
Sure. What?
Zebra cake. Same game, different item of food.
Okay, let's go around the horn. Craig, ever try shoving things in your mouth?
Unwilling. Just make this clear.
I love zebra cakes. I've never shoved a whole bunch of them in my mouth, but they're great,
too.
By the way. Just marshmallows. That's the only thing I've ever done.
And that's supposed to be dangerous, too.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Because they kind of become glue in your
mouth.
What's
that one go?
Shoving marshmallows in your mouth.
I never did the marshmallows, but I did the thing where they're like, you can't eat this many crackers in this amount of time.
Oh,
I
the
totally
saltine
did it.
Thing? Yeah.
I did it.
Esmeralda, was this something you've ever done, was try to like have a food eating?
You did not do it. It's impossible. You didn't.
I did it.
You couldn't. No, you didn't.
Bring the crackers out.
Patty, we have to make him do it now.
No, I'm not making him do
if
anything.
If he can do it, though,
all
that's
I have
amazing.
Is, like, popcorn is all I have.
I'm
going to
go
think.
Buy saltines.
I did a gallon of milk in an hour, too, but it was Skims. I don't know if that counts.
Did you really not throw up?
I didn't throw up.
Crackers, milk. I got a lot of respect for you, sir.
I know a lot of guys that have been dared these things, and they do. Esmeralda, have you ever been dared to eat something like large volumes or shove a bunch of a lot of things into your mouth and try to hold it there? I'm sorry.
Well,
no, but I mean, like, they were talking about grapes and marshmallows and zebra cakes.
I have been to 2 almost food eating contests, not like professional or anything,
right?
But like amongst friends. One was we were going to eat a bunch of crab legs.
Oh,
because I was like, no, I could eat a lot of crab legs, and they were trying to.
Where your headphones? Have no headphones over here. She was dared. They wanted to see how many crab legs they were going out to eat for crab legs.
Either crab legs,
like a very sophisticated.
I was at a Chinese buffet.
Did you have like a bib and everything for that?
Well, we never did it.
You never did.
And then there was another time where I have a friend. He wants to eat. He wants to do a chicken wing eating contest. But the thing is, it's not going to be timed or anything. We're going to take our sweet time doing it because we want to enjoy the chicken wings.
And there's little bones.
But we're going to eat so many of them. Yeah, these are all willing.
These are all bones and shell things that just seem like a mess to try to consume.
I forgot.
It's all willing. No one's really had to dare me.
I forgot.
Did you ever do
the food?
I ate a bunch of chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A the day it opened to win a lifetime supply of chicken nuggets.
And did you win the
lifetime? I did not win the lifetime supply.
No.
Yeah. That's really devastating when you try for something like that and you don't win.
And then you're still just
How many did you have to eat?
Well, it's as many as you could eat in 2 minutes, and I think I got like 17, which wasn't – yeah. There,
what was,
there were a lot more.
Do you remember what the winning number was?
There was this one elderly woman who she came up and no one saw her being really good at this, and she ate like 42 nuggets or something. And I don't think she chewed and swallowed a
it's
lot
like
of those.
Dipping them in water.
Yeah, I don't know how
that's
happened.
Not even a big hit for them because she doesn't have as much long a lifetime.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, that's a good
that
point.
You could leave it to somebody, right? You could leave your chicken nuggets in the
can
will.
Can you will them all over? I think it's just your lifetime. I don't think you can transfer that kind of an award.
Maybe she's a ringer for Chick-fil-A then. Maybe.
Yeah.
She just comes in.
Yeah,
she's
but she's
going to
have the greatest life from then on.
All the chicken nuggets she could eat. Rick Geezer, have you ever done like a eating contest?
I look like I probably should.
I wasn't asking for that reason. Everybody else seems to have.
I don't.
I was in a pie eating contest that I actually did win.
That sounds great.
But I was like, it was one of those ones. It was like day camp, and my best friend Sue had to put her arms under my arms, and like she had to feed me, and I had to keep just eating.
Yeah.
So that's banana cream pie, which I haven't had since.
Bananas, man.
The most intense I think maybe not other than those other things. I was at BW3's and my friend was like, I'd eat the hottest wings. And that was really big for me because I just don't have that in my culture. And and it affected me for like multiple days. Like,
was it heartburn and your tongue?
I remember walking to go get more pop and that didn't, like nothing did anything. It just hurt all the time.
Milk
Brian
and bread.
Aldridge told me to do that.
Comedian
Brian Aldridge.
That's not very good. Fine.
I did dare a guy in college to eat a pound of butter.
And,
and he took the challenge.
What?
He did. He'd been drinking a bit.
Okay. 312-981-7200. What have you consumed volumes and volumes of? What have you shoved in your gullet? More after this on 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We started talking a little bit about places that we've worked at, in particular, food joints. And I worked at a Brown's Chicken, Pizza Hut. I worked at Hollywood Hot Dog, Cactus Bar and Grill. Oh, God, so many.
A lot of turnover, Patty.
Hooters. I had over 40 different jobs between the ages of 14 and, I mean, you know, and on and off again, probably till I was about 30. But yeah, I mean, the thing was, you know, when you knew how easy it was to get a job, you just like, I'm not going to work here anymore. Someone grabs your ass. You're like, I'm done. I'm leaving.
That's valid.
Or, you know, if it's just something I was miserable. I left Farmore, which very few people. Do you remember Farmore?
I remember Farmore.
Mm-hmm. I left within 2.5 hours. The lady who was teaching me how to use the cash register kept slapping my hand because I'm left-handed. So I couldn't work I was trying to do this. With, you know, moving things on the belt, and she wanted me to use this hand, and she thought I was going to hit the wrong buttons, so she started slapping my hand, and I'm like, I'm going to be right back, and I just walked out the front door.
That's not the only job you left, like, day one, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, how many jobs
there's a restaurant. There's a restaurant in the area that I went, this is disgusting, I have to go now, I'm not going to tell you, I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
But
I feel like you might have set, like, a personal record for most jobs quit the first day
walked
you started.
Out I'm afraid to go into some restaurants because I'm pretty sure I still work there. I haven't done that joke in a long time. I have like checks with the state of Illinois. Mm. They'll send me this thing that says we have money, the comptroller or the, you remember Jody Bart Topinka used to send out those things.
Cash dash.
And I have like $3 checks, like all from places all over the city. I worked at Marshall Fields. I worked at a lot of, like, I mean, if I went down the list, it would just be tedious. But, I worked at Subway. I used to love eating the raw cookie dough. That was the first time. The Otis Spunkmeyer cookies. What? Why?
My brother owned a Subway.
Yeah.
Store.
I love that job.
And he sold it as soon as he realized he'd be a slave to a 16-year-old schedule for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Wow. No, it was brutal. And I worked there when they used to cut the middle. Remember, we used to cut the middle of the sandwich, pull the bread out, fill it, and then put the bread back on top.
You're a true artist.
We were very specific. Yeah. Although I remember when we had a sign that said it was like 4-foot-longs. It was like a sale. Like every Sunday was a big sale. We were like, we'd have a big rush, so we just started taking the sign down. Because we didn't make up. So this reminds me of the story. There was a nurse down in Texas who works late shifts, and he got his pizza box, and it said, we'd appreciate it if you didn't order your pizza 5 minutes before we close. And I thought, well, that's, I mean, like, I did the wrong thing when I was 16, but that was toward the company. Like, nobody really, it was awful. It was a bad thing that we did. We were lazy kids who were getting away with something. But I can't imagine, like, doing something. Like, this seems to be coming up now with social media where people leave notes on receipts at restaurants. You know, like, I give God 20%. No, I give God 10%. Why would I give you 20? Do you remember that one?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there was...
I tithe, therefore I'm good, therefore what I say is right. Talk to you later.
But the math doesn't work because you get God 10% of what you make. You
know, excuse me.
Yeah, it's not on the check.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's not.
I didn't even think of that math.
Yeah, the logic does not work out.
Is a full tithe tax deductible?
I would
think
so.
Charitable donation, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, your tip isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you want from me?
It was, but well, and don't people to stop leaving notes on things. It's going to go viral.
Yeah.
But do leave nice notes. Make those go viral. We'll do nice things. Yeah.
Well, we're you know, this is the last generation that will not know to do that. Because everybody from here on out will know, like, oh, you do anything, it's on the internet forever.
Yeah.
We still are like, oh, no one will know. Screw this guy.
We're not going to have to parent our children because they'll just know, like, oh, don't do
that. Yeah, this is great. There's a book online. I'll talk to you later.
So, Patty, you are talking about the story out of Texas where a nurse ordered a pizza during his graveyard shift.
Yeah.
And the pizza arrived with a handwritten note that said, we would appreciate it very much if you didn't wait until 5 minutes before we closed to make an order.
And this is a nurse that works overnights. Can you imagine if a nurse is like, you know what? I'm off in 5 minutes. If you could just not bleed out right now, I'd really appreciate it. I can't even. I mean, I get it. I get that you're frustrated that somebody waits until the last minute, but your hours are your hours.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I mean, your shop closes at 10. Your shift actually isn't done until everything's cleaned and delivered.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem with a lot of food services. They try to clean everything up before they close so they can all leave by close. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not the point. Mm-hmm. All the food should still be made until right at close.
Well, it's also a COGS issue there, though. And it's also an inventory problem. Like, you see Starbucks take down most of their pastries and things about an hour before. And it's not just because they don't want to throw it in the microwave. While that might be a factor, it's also a waste. You know, mm-hmm. the longer you let things sit out, the more you're going to throw away at the end of the night.
I was at the Field Museum one time. They have a corner bakery in there, and it was like 20 minutes before they were closing. And I actually have pictures of this somewhere. I took a bunch of pictures, and I didn't do anything with it. But they were closed, and they had thrown all the sandwiches into the garbage cans in front of the cash register. And I was like, you're kidding that you did that.
For Sue, the dinosaur.
Right, that's exactly where the corner bakery is.
That's why she stays so calm. Top 5 sandwiches were good still.
I saw Night at the Museum.
Yeah,
like, I know what goes on.
It was, I mean, it was crammed with all the sandwiches from the day. I thought, really, you couldn't have.
Well, the other thing there is a legal issue, because if so, you do give it to a shelter or the homeless or something, and they get sick, and then boom, somebody who really needs a lot of money's got a lawsuit against you. So it's, you have to go through special programs to give any sort of old food out in a charitable way, which is terrible. But you know, you have to, liabilities are an issue.
And that's why people dumpster dive.
Yeah.
That's true. There's no liability there.
Once it's in your can, you're not responsible for it, unless it's your credit card number.
All fine. Oh, we have to take a break? All right, then fine. I had more things to say about this. Fine. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm hanging out with friends and guests. We have Brandon C. Price. He's the, I can't think of anything besides Mastermind tonight, and
I'll
CFO.
Take it. We'll work on it for next week.
All right, then I will.
Super
do that.
Villain.
Super villain.
Architect.
Sure,
architect of,
that'll work.
Of Vamp Chicago. Go
Overlord
to Vamp.
Human Commander. Being who's full of more oxygen than normally.
See? This is a panel
this
I can work with.
I agree with you. And you should go see his show if you get a chance over the weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, I got tickets in my pocket.
There we go. Just tickets in your pocket.
Yeah. Where
for
do
the
you
show?
Keep them? Yeah. For things like this.
There you go. Go to vampchicago.com if you can't get into Brandon's pockets. And for ticket information, it's Friday and Saturday nights.
But a new Pretty Late contest. Get into Brandon's pockets.
Text everyone to
Brandon's pockets.
I love that. And for tomorrow night's show at West Chicago High School, go to wegotheater.com. Michael Palasek is performing with Mike Preston, Dobie Maxwell, Brian Hicks. I'm missing somebody.
Vince Moranto.
And Vince Moranto. And that's Rick Geezer, who is helping the kids get to Fringe. They're going to Fringe Fest in Edinburgh, Scotland. So that's very exciting. And you can see some really great comics. We were talking a little bit about restaurants that we've worked at and whether or not if you worked in retail or worked at a restaurant, did it bug you when people came in at the last minute? Roy Wood had a great bit about this, about like when you get up to a restaurant and you see the guy mopping the floors and kind of gives you that look like, you're not coming in here, are you? You're not coming in here. I just don't remember being that upset with people. Yeah. I actually went on the radio and went on a tirade about the Radio Shack in my neighborhood that closed. I was trying to pay my Sprint bill and they closed like 5 minutes before. And so they told me, I talked to management I'm that girl. I'm the one that calls. They said that they close early to throw off the thieves because So I guess am I ruining that for them?
Which one did you tell her this time, Stan?
Wait, so the thieves have more time to steal it when it's closed?
Like, when they're about to close? Yeah. I don't know, maybe because they've settled up.
Oh, they'll come in
we'll
right
get
at
them at 12:57.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, they
I wanted to pay
out
my phone bill, too.
Oh, no. But gosh, there was something else. Oh, I had given Brandon C. Price, but if we're, I don't know if that bothers people that some places close or too early. It does bug me. But we were supposed to talk tonight about the movie Smokey and the Bandit, starring Burt Reynolds and Sally Field.
And Jackie Gleason.
And Jackie Gleason, who was brilliant. Now, I know you haven't seen it, Michael, mm-hmm. but it's a film from 1977. And it's amazing. Some of the things, you mentioned the Confederate flag. Mm-hmm. Like,
Sweet Trans Am.
But I don't think that Smokey and the Bandit is as much in the like you know, we talk about Daisy Dukes and we talk about, you know, the Duke boys.
The stereotypical Southern culture is what you're saying.
You were saying that they stopped airing episodes of Dukes of Hazzard because of the Confederate flag. I mean, there isn't really, I mean, I guess you had stopped showing Smokey and the Bandit, but it seems to occupy a different space culturally than the Dukes of Hazzard.
I don't know. I mean, it's a touchy subject, but it just didn't fall under the crosshairs because it wasn't painted as largely.
It was just a license plate.
We're calling attention to the injustice that is Smokey the Bandit, and something will be done.
Who would have thought that the guy who designed the Dukes of Hazzard car would take so many residuals away from so many actors? Let's put the flag on there.
I don't even want to think about it. I've thought about this often when it comes to Bill Cosby and all the people involved.
That's the first thing I heard is, like, that's really sad that these actors aren't going to make any more
that
money.
That's it for them. Then the Dukes of Hazzard, it's the same thing. Yeah. In the movie Smokey and the Bandit, we're going to cover this with Duffy at some point because he had asked us to talk about recasting. If you were going to remake that movie, who would you cast? So that's something for our listeners to think about when the conversation does come up again. But what I love, do you know what kind of beer they're running across state lines? Which really,
it's like brewed, right?
It's Coors. It's Coors.
Well, because back in that era, you could only get it west of the Mississippi. I remember my dad as a kid would make runs to bring it back for friends.
Well, what was the big deal about Coors?
It's from the banquet beer.
Okay, it's what?
It's the banquet beer.
It's the banquet beer. I was watching this, and I'm like, this is seriously just about running Coors?
Well, you now can't even get Coors. It's all Coors Light. Which really leads to a Smokey and the Bandit 2.
But what kind of, did they not have beer comparable to that in where were they running it to? Alabama? Georgia? It was Georgia. It was
they
Texas
ran
to
through
Georgia.
Mississippi. Yeah, they ran through all of the southern states there in the row.
So alcohol was legal in the movie.
Yes.
They just
couldn't move Coors across state lines.
Yeah, I don't think you can move it alcohol across state lines was okay. The issue. Gotcha. It's a 2-hour chase scene. They have Bandit 1, which is the Trans Am, and Bandit 2, which is the 18-wheeler full of beer. Wow.
And an adorable
then a Cannonball
Sally Field.
Run a few years later.
Yeah.
Craig, have you seen this movie?
No, I didn't see
before.
This movie.
This was your assignment. Brandon,
I remember,
dove in.
I remember the assignment.
Well, Boss Hogg became sort of an over-the-top version of Jackie
Gleason. Yeah, the Gleason's character, yeah.
So
Sheriff
good.
Justice. Wasn't his name Sheriff Justice?
Yeah, I think that's his character's name. I keep wanting to say Buford Pusser, but no.
Yeah.
No, it was and it was funny because I remembered as I was watching, I'm like, that's right. Everybody, when I was a kid, loved Trans Ams.
Yeah.
Which, what happened to Trans Ams?
Well, they're T-tops. They're very easily stolen.
Oh, that'll do it.
That's why the Corvette T-top didn't last very long because you could just hop in and start the car.
Oh, there you go. Well, and Duffy wanted to talk about whether or not you would recast it. Now, there's a movie that keeps getting cast over and over. Well, there's characters that keep getting cast over and over again. I did want to talk to Esmeralda about Batman versus Superman. I know Craig's on the phone, so we don't have to worry about him yelling at us.
Before he's
shaking his head. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. So what did you think about Batman versus Superman?
I didn't think
it was terrible. It was a terrible movie.
Craig, the phone's ringing.
I don't understand why people think it's that awful. Yeah, it had some issues, but it wasn't the worst. You guys are making it sound like it's the worst movie ever made.
Oh, no, I don't think it's the worst movie ever made.
Well, Craig is.
Yes, Craig. I think Craig's of the mind that.
And also, I'm a little mad at Craig because he is downplaying the whole thing with Superman and Batman and the Martha thing.
Oh, you don't think you?
In what way am I downplaying?
I think it's insane that you think, oh, just because their names are the same.
This is now the second time I've ever stood up on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. The first was during our long review of this movie. The second is when you say I'm downplaying it. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, because one, of course it's a big thing.
First things first.
Why do you think Batman is even Batman?
Pause.
Because his mother is dead.
Wait a minute.
Superman's mom's
pump the brakes, Esmeralda.
Martha?
Wait a minute. 1 second. We have people in studio that didn't hear my question first time. If you were about to die and you were thinking of your mom, would you use her first name if you said out loud, you know, Martha's going to die? Or would you say your mom?
Real mom.
Yeah, that's what I've heard
too.
The argument that it's
but does he ever call her
real mom?
Do we ever hear him call her Martha?
Yeah,
before
that's
that?
Weird.
Do we hear her mom?
Clark never calls her Martha.
Well, Clark also for
say,
most of his youth thinks that she's his actual mom, right?
For all of his youth, he thinks that they're
pubertizes and then can fly.
But also the Luther guy calls her Martha a lot, I think.
Okay, and then...
I think it's a little weird.
Neil, hold on, by the way. We will get to your phone call, Neil.
As soon as he says out loud, Martha, Batman stops what he's about to do, which is murder Superman, and he goes, oh, now we're best friends. I'll go save your mom. You go deal with Lex Luther.
Well, Batman connected
to that problem.
Exactly.
It's
a whole thing behind it.
Batman's like, oh, losing your parents blows.
No, I get the idea...
And he realizes he's being like a tool.
I get the idea that it humanizes a character that he thought was an alien. I understand that idea. It was portrayed like poop. It was poop on the screen.
I just don't understand why you think it's like immediately, because that's the whole thing. His mother died.
You would not be
this
best
whole
buddies.
Thing of being Batman.
You would not be best buddies.
Nobody.
All of a sudden.
I think it's impossible to make a good movie called Batman versus Superman. They're two good people. Why should they be fighting in the first place?
Well,
actually,
no,
there's
Batman
a comic book.
Batman's a big jerk.
There's a comic book where they fight each other, and it's wonderful.
Okay. I just think it's weird that you don't think that he can essentially respect and be like, hey, let's go save your mom. And then I guess he kind of sees the light.
By the time Batman saves his mom, saves Superman's mom, chronologically,
I mean, that's not
Superman,
really anything.
Spoiler alert, Superman arrives when the timer's up. How long did it take for him to get to that from that abandoned building to Lex Luthor?
Oh, yeah.
And he could have just gone and gotten his mom in that time and not have to go through all the fighting and stuff because he's Superman. Yeah. All right.
But he didn't know where
Superman can fly so fast. Why didn't he just go back through time and then kill Batman before he was born?
Might be killed, and I go fight another guy while my new friend who was about to kill me goes to save my mom. It makes no sense.
Hey, Neil, what did you want to tell us about Smokey and the Bandit? Hey, Neil.
Hello?
Hi, Neil.
Hey. Hi. Years, we just talked about the Trans Am and things like that.
Yes.
I read, I can't remember how long ago it was, but Burt Reynolds, he just sold one of the Trans Ams from the movies. And the Trans Ams that were in the movies were unique because you couldn't, from the factory, you couldn't get the big motor with a T-top because the top kind of holds the sides of the car together.
Uh-huh.
And with the big motor, there's too many stresses on the car. But Bert, they made special ones for the GM made special ones for the movie. And, I mean, that car sold for millions of dollars.
No, it's $550,000. They sold that. I just looked it up just now. Oh, does that look cool though? And it's even he's posing with it.
That car had the big motor in it, and they made him special for the movie.
That is so wild. It was a world record price.
One of those. I mean, you know, I was in high school at the time, and that was, you know, that was at the height of the CB craze at the time too.
Yes,
that was going on. That went, you know, a few years prior to that, you actually needed a license to have a CB radio, believe it or not.
Right.
And then there was, so.
You'd have an operator's license.
That's right. You know, I mean, we had one. I mean, I remember going on vacation as a kid. My brother, you know, had to put the
Breaker 19, good buddy.
There you go. All right, you guys have a good night.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Teddy Bear.
Oh, look at that. Bye-bye. We get all kinds of radio names. Did you have a CB radio, Rick Geezer?
I did. I did.
I love that.
I was the honky cat.
What?
Get back, honky cat.
Exactly. And then, Mike Toomey was also, he was like the Rocket Man.
I think I've heard him tell stories.
We did it after Elton John songs.
Wow. I love that. Because
I was Levon, but nobody called.
Do they have to call you, or do they just respond? You just kind of start talking, and then you wait for someone to respond?
Yeah, you do, until somebody wants to find out where you're at and knows you're 12. So. Yeah.
And you never give that out.
No.
You were smart even then to protect yourself. What kind of conversations did you have in the middle of the night?
Oh, I don't know. What's your 20? And then, you know.
What is your 20?
What's the location?
It's your 20. What's your 12 then?
I don't know.
The direction?
I don't remember all the things.
Maybe where you're headed? Because wherever I'm looking is 12?
Oh.
Could be.
A shot in the
could
dark.
Be.
Levon doesn't know.
Does not know. Craig, I heard you yelling at a caller about the Batman movie.
No, I was yelling at Esmeralda, actually, through our intercom system.
Yes, you were yelling at
each other. That was not a caller.
Were you really? Okay, good. I'm glad you weren't yelling at a caller.
Yeah, I took some of that off air. I'm sorry to everybody.
We thought Zack Snyder called in.
Oh, my God, if he called in, he owes me $15.
Speaking of Zack, what did you think of Watchmen?
I actually didn't hate Watchmen. I just don't really like the end of Watchmen because it's not at all what happened.
It's different than the comic book.
You couldn't do the comic book, but what he did was, I thought, just stupid. But I liked most of that
movie. The comedian would be a good Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What?
The guy that plays the comedian in The Watchmen.
The comedian in The Watchmen.
He's in The Good Wife right now, I think.
Uh-huh.
He plays Negan.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He plays.
I just got all like ready for
he's
Jeffrey
Negan
Dean Morgan
in,
for no reason.
Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's in The Walking Dead too.
Negan. He's a badass.
Talk about
he is such a wonderful Cliff actor.
Hanger. Yeah, he's great.
I wasn't crazy about the episode, but
Are you a Walking Dead fan as well?
I've never seen Walking Dead, but I like that actor.
Oh man,
he's great.
He was
charming and evil.
Yeah.
and also Denny from Grey's Anatomy.
It's a soap opera. It's not, you're not going to be blown away by the writing or most of the acting, but if you like zombies, you give all that up. You know?
I saw a couple episodes watching with my brother on Netflix, but then he just went ahead and watched all of them without me, and then I was like, I can't sit through all this death.
By yourself? Right. I need someone to hold me.
Kind of.
Does Sam not watch, she doesn't watch this?
She was watching Walking Dead, but it was the same thing, Walking Dead. We watch, what do we watch? We watch Better Call Saul together.
Okay, that's a good show.
Last Man on Earth. Yeah.
No, there you go. Yeah. I'm going through through Michael Palisak's DVR list.
Yeah.
What are your big shows, Rick Geezer?
Walking Dead, definitely. I also, right now, I'm starting to watch that Vinyl.
Oh, yeah, on HBO.
I thought it started a little slow, but I'm starting to get into the character.
Yeah, it picks up, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard his hit or miss things. He was just on one of the late night talk shows tonight, too.
It's tragedy.
I'm sad that I don't know what's happening with Twin Peaks. They're supposed to remake it. I'm really excited about that, and I don't know if they're going to redo it.
Well, if you want a fun little sort of a little twist on it, there's an episode of Psych. You can go.
It's a great episode.
Did you see that with
the
cinnamon pie and everything at the Cinnamon Fest? Yeah. Oh, it's such a good episode
with a lot of the cast members.
A lot of the cast. Yeah, I never saw much of Twin Peaks, so that was my only.
I'll share my DVD collection.
Yeah, that's okay.
And it's on Netflix.
I'm not going to ever watch. Although Quantum Leap is on. Is on Netflix, by the way.
Speaking of great shows,
I love Quantum Leap. I don't know why it's a little corny now, but I loved it when it was on originally.
Is that Scott Bakula? Is that
He travels in time and Ziggy's.
You know what's funny about all the shows you just mentioned? You can hear You've Been Challenged podcast about every one of those shows.
I think that's a good idea.
I've done all that stuff.
How about Psych? Psych would be a good
one. I haven't done yet. By the way, Twin Peaks is coming in 2017.
Is it definitely? Okay.
Definitely Showtime, first half.
All right.
Well, see, now I wonder how that's going to go.
Because I've heard that moved.
Well, because the reboot of, I don't think X-Files did very well as a reboot. I tried watching it, and it was so slowly paced. I had a tough time watching it. So I wonder how Twin Peaks is going to do. Because there's some things that maybe are just left behind in your memory, or revisiting the originals, I think, are kind of fun.
Yeah, like watching reruns of Full House might be more fun than watching Fuller House.
I've heard people really like that.
I've heard people really like Fuller House, too. I just haven't.
Emily Galati posted that she liked it.
Yeah.
It's the Goonies. It's not a good movie, but you saw it as a kid, so you're always going to think it was.
Right. Well, yeah, I think the reruns will always be good.
What was it, Esmeralda?
No, Full House is not a good show.
Okay. The first and the new one?
No, I haven't seen Fuller House because I remember thinking.
Those are places in my heart that you're trying to destroy.
Yeah, but no, because it's, you're a kid and you're like, no, I like kid shows.
No, I liked Stephanie.
Well, see, there you go. But now as an adult, like, I look back, I'm like, oh, no.
Topanga Lawrence.
This is not a good show. No, that was Boy Meets World.
I know, I'm just saying. I liked her.
Oh, Topanga.
Just sharing my.
TGIF.
We've got to do a show.
Winnie Cooper. Sorry.
Oh, from Wonder Years?
Yeah. So great.
She was very, very cute. She's now like a math genius.
Oh, my God. She's amazing now.
Yeah. All right, then. More after this on 7. Hey, are we calling Wayne Brady? So let's see if we can get in a little bit of trouble.
Hey, Wayne Brady.
More after this on 720 WTU. Good to be alive. Believe me, hey. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by the Chief Operating Officer, COO.
COO tonight.
Yes, Vamp Chicago. Go to vampchicago.com for shows. Friday and Saturday, it's a music, comedy, and drinking show. It's at 10:30. Fridays and Saturdays, go to vampchicago.com. Tomorrow night, Michael Palisak is performing along with Mike Preston, Dobie Maxwell, Brian Hicks, and Vince Maranto at West Chicago High School. Go to wegotheater.com. They're going off to Fringe Fest in Edinburgh. And it is time for our very last call of the show. We generally do a wake-up call. Craig has decided that tonight's call should go to the one and only.
Are we doing this? We're really doing this.
All right, Wayne Brady.
Okay. All right, I'm going to dial the phone.
I know. It's going to be very. I doubt that he's going to answer his phone. And I don't know if he'd be asleep. If he's in LA,
it might be.
Maybe midnight. What time do you go to bed when you're in Los Angeles?
Are you? 4 in the morning.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So it's 6
I try to aim for 2, but 4 is usually.
Are you up, like, writing and just hanging out, or just trying to unwind after a show?
Yeah. Well, usually, like, I'll work until, like, 2, and then I'll unwind for, like, an hour and a half.
Should I put this on the air, Craig? Do this? Let me see. Is it going on? What time do you get to go to bed, Brandon?
About the same time. About Central.
Okay. 4 a.m.
I just work better at night. I can do all the finance and the QuickBooks stuff at night way better.
Yeah, and I find that I'm more of a night person. Esmeralda obviously goes to bed she gets off of work at 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah.
I thought I heard a hello.
I don't know that. It's still ringing.
He would be singing hello.
We are calling Wayne Brady, by the way, of... Oh, we have to make sure that we
don't... That goes to his phone number.
Yes, so we want to make sure that we're not giving his phone number. Because he has an autumn... Would you think Wayne Brady would have, like, a fun tailored...
No, a lot of the celebrities have the little fake, you know...
Oh, because...
You don't want to confirm.
Because of moments like this. Should we tell them where we're from, or just from WGN Radio? I guess we should...
I'm so scared.
Why are you scared?
I don't know.
Hi, Wayne Brady. This is Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio.
And Craig Collins from WGN
Michael
Radio.
Michael Palasek.
Rick Geezer.
And Brandon C. Price.
And Esmeralda Leon.
And we were hoping to reach you. We have had you booked on the show in the past and have not had the opportunity to actually talk to you.
That was weird. I don't know.
It was a mix-up a while ago.
No, but yeah, there was a confirmation made by the people that were creating your schedule
yes.
when you were visiting Chicago and...
And we missed that
then,
opportunity.
It didn't happen.
But your name came up tonight because a very good friend of the show, Brandon C. Price, is the mastermind, genius, and CEO, CFO of Vamp Chicago, which is a music, comedy, drinking show. And he often conjures up your name. He brings up your name as someone they aspire to emulate. Not emulate.
No, it's our marketing strategy is to say it's Whose Line But Everyone Is Wayne Brady because you are so talented. And our social media guy actually tweets at you every week. It's called Vamp Once... Wayne Wednesdays. And while I do believe that sometimes it is off brand, the message is still from the heart.
And we would love if you came to one of their shows. We are in Chicago. I know that you come through once in a while.
You could
big
play.
Shows.
The players make $10 a show, so.
Would you? He might, you know, I
could
think
you
he might think about it.
Could you give him
20
maybe?
No, yeah,
you know what?
Let's make
we could absolutely talk about this. Right. Yeah, let's make a deal, Wayne.
If he gets paid a lot more than everybody else, though, he should be able to, you know, donate that to charity because...
He can do whatever he wants if he walks into my theater because I'll be able to quintuple the ticket price.
I think you would do very well. People would be very excited. He's appeared in Chicago several times, and I know that, everyone loves watching him on the Let's Make a Deal and Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, he invented the art of music improv before it was like a personal thing here in Chicago. Like
we're talking to him right now still. You
yes.
know that.
Like, yeah, that's how we do it. That's how we
pioneers. Also blew off a pretty late with Patty Vasquez.
Missed it.
Interview.
I think it was a missed moment of a scheduling conflict.
I don't know what happened.
I was actually in Los Angeles standing next to a Wayne Brady poster at ABC Studios when we were unable
to talk
to him.
And we talked to his people within 15 minutes of the time that he was supposed to talk to us.
Yeah, I like to think it was an oversight, just a missed, like I said.
He was stuck on vampchicago.com and all.
Right. Yeah. Singers have to rest their voices.
They do. Vampchicago.com, Wayne Brady. We encourage you to visit the website. We'd love to invite you to one of the shows. They do a great job, much like yourself. I don't even understand how you guys have access to that much music in your minds, lyrics. And
everybody's good at something.
I don't understand how there's this much room on his voicemail stuff.
Oh, just wait. Well, we're not a room. We just keep...
Cassette tape's about to fill.
Wayne, I should tell you a little bit about our show. We do a lot of different things. Like tonight, we actually talked to Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart was on our show to talk about how he has changed the prison system in Chicago. He is assigned a psychologist to run the system because so many of our mentally ill actually end up being incarcerated. We also talked about whether or not it's cool or uncool to end up at a business like a restaurant or a store moments before it closes. We're running out of time, so if anybody has anything to add before we run out of time.
VampChicago.com, Wayne.
Thanks for everything you've done.
You're our inspiration, literally.
SportsSongs.com.
You could have just made one extra interview. No, I missed it.
We didn't even get a chance.
Satisfied with the message.
Are we satisfied? Did you guys want to re-record that? Or are you good?
I got it all recorded.
You got it all. There you go. I'm sorry, Vic Vaughn. We didn't let you leave a message. We didn't have time. I didn't see you just step into your quadrant of the screen. You could have said hi to Wayne Brady.
I wanted to jump in and say that, but you were talking.
I know. I'm so sorry. I should have let you. I know. Well, you should have. You could have. I assure you. Anytime you want. More after this on 720 WGN. We just left a message for Wayne Brady.